And I'm very glad to see everyone this morning. I know our numbers are down a little today. And I want to talk about all things new. You know, I've been preaching here 10, 11 years. You could count on one hand how many messages I've done out of Revelation. It's a book I stay away from. Jesus said he sent his angel to tell his servants what would shortly come to pass. And it is a very mysterious book. But this morning I want to talk from Revelation 21. This is my favorite passage at gravesides. I remember I did a child's funeral and I read this passage, and a few months later someone else in that family had passed away and they asked me to do their funeral. And the child's mother came up to me and she said, "I noticed you use that same passage." And I said, "Yeah, I think it's a very appropriate, especially for the graveside." She said, "Well, you probably don't remember me, but that was my child whose funeral you did." She said, "You'll never know what comfort that passage brought to me." She said, "I've never heard it before." So this is a very comforting passage if you're ready to go. If you're not ready to go, then it's not going to be so comforting for you. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for all who have come out to hear it. I pray, Lord, that we will be blessed and encouraged this morning as we look at this text and be reminded where our loved ones in Christ are at, Lord. As Paul said, we shouldn't grieve as those that have no hope. Thank you for the great hope that you have given us, the promises you have given us. And Lord, we just look forward to that day that we will stand in your presence. I offer this in Jesus' name. Amen. The text is Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.'" For me to say that the book of Revelation is a mysterious book almost seems like an understatement. I found out in reading church history that it was almost not included in the canons. The scholars argued, some didn't believe that John the Apostle wrote it. It was actually written after his death, and another disciple named John wrote it. Some of John's disciples confirmed that he did indeed write the book. And they argue about the language. You know, the Greek was rough, and John wrote and spoke very good Greek. And, you know, they've always got their reasons. But it almost didn't make it into the scriptures. As I said, it's a very mysterious book. A lot of symbolism, a lot of mystery in it. And it's been debated for centuries in the church. It has been argued over. People have written a lot of books. You can go to any Christian bookstore in Springfield and they'll have a whole section dedicated to the book of Revelation. The churches over the centuries have drawn their theories and taken their stands, and they believe that they have the correct interpretation, and it's something that's argued about. In Bob Russell's book, When God Builds a Church, I liked what he said. He said, all these theories, and I call them theories, all these theories, they can take the Word of God and show you why they believe what they do. So he said, why should we fight about that in the church? It does not matter. And I agree with that. I've never hidden from you that I'm not a proponent of the rapture theory, and that's what I call it. But I hope they're right. I would like the thought of being the Lord taking his church out of here before things break loose, but I don't, personally, in my reading of the scriptures, I don't see that promise. But I have learned over the years, it's fine. I am more of a historical interpreter of the book of Revelation. I think it's been an ongoing fulfillment throughout history. But if you don't agree with that, I'm okay with that. That will not keep you or I out of heaven. If there is a rapture, I'll be in for a nice surprise. And those of you that believe in it, I'll come up and tell you was right and I was wrong. That ought to make you feel better. The book of Revelation tells of terrible times in the history of men, in the history of the world, when evil will soon seem to rule supremely. And those who choose to follow Jesus Christ will become a prey for those who don't. It speaks of famines and wars, judgments, governments collapsing, families disintegrating, collapsing. It just speaks of terrible times, economic collapses. I remember one of the passages, a measure of wheat was sold for a penny. And in that time, a penny was a day's wage, and a measure was what you could eat in one day. So a day's wage to buy a day's worth of food. That's hard times. And it warns us, John warns us of all these times that the Lord had showed him. And there will be a leader, according to some, that's going to step in and seem to have all the answers. Wayne mentioned this morning, you know, things going on in this world. I've seen so many changes in my country since my childhood that I never thought would come, and it's not for the better. I see my country going down the toilet, to put it nicely. And I hate to see it happen, but I'm seeing it happen. Morals have been thrown out the window. Relativism, postmodernism, all the other isms seem to be in full effect, and people like us are becoming dinosaurs, archaic. But although I don't understand the book of Revelation, don't claim to understand all of it, the last two chapters, I believe anyone should be able to understand if you want to sit down and read it. It is a prophecy about what's coming. When I was in boot camp in the Army, some of you would not believe how mean those drill sergeants were, and I mean sadistic mean. I've been slapped, got punched in the stomach once, one stomped my foot, been cussed, talk about your mama. You know, you just wouldn't believe that when they'd get in your face and they'd put the bill of that hat right there and act like you couldn't hear because they had to scream. And I remember one time this corporal told me, this is not the Army. You could have fooled me. I got a green uniform on and, you know, my name's Private, but he said, this isn't the Army. This is boot. And when you get out of boot, it's different. And I want to say this world that we live in is not it. We can get discouraged. I get discouraged. I don't watch the news anymore. Very rarely. If it's something I want to hear, I'll look for it and I'll watch, but otherwise I don't. You can say, well, you're burying your head in the sand. I just don't want to hear it, is the way I feel about it. If they'd report on good news once in a while, I might watch it, but They always want to grab the headlines, the most terrible things that they can find to report on, and I'm sick of hearing it, personally. I'm sick of hearing about the riots and the bigotry and the prejudices going on and one group trying to rise up above another. And you know, I'm just sick of it. But when I think about the promise of the kingdom, Paul said the sufferings of this world are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed. Church, Lord Jesus, when he went, remember before he went to the cross, when he was leaving, he said, I'm going away to my Father's house. There's a lot of rooms there, and I'm getting you a room ready. And when I go away, I will come back. Do you believe that? I believe it, but sometimes I struggle. Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, why don't you come back now? Other times, well, you might wait a little while. You know, things aren't too bad. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I have found that out in the years that I've kicked around on this earth. But it's inevitable. But what's great to me is to know that when I die, that's just the end of this life. I just go on to the next. And there's a kingdom and a mansion, and I got my own room. And no bank will ever foreclose on it. Nobody will ever tell me I can't hang a picture on the wall. It'll be mine and for eternity. And I'll be in the presence of God. I wouldn't care if the kingdom of heaven was in the middle of the Sahara Desert. If Jesus Christ is there and I get to be with him, that's fine. So I want to look at this morning. And I want you to be encouraged if you are a believer. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to be encouraged and understand this is what you have to look forward to. As I said, everything's went bad in Revelation, and it seemed like the devil had the upper hand. The Christians were being persecuted and overcome by the beast. Many of them were losing their lives. But when it ends, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. You first read in the new heavens and earth in Isaiah chapter 66. Now, I was talking to another minister, a fellow minister one time, and I told him, I agree with Jehovah's Witness. God's going to recreate the heavens and the earth. He says he will in his word. I think that's where the kingdom of heaven will be. And he got really irritated at me. You'd thought I'd blaspheme. But I said, it's in the word. Isaiah 66, God says, for as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. And they shall go out and look on the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me, for their worm shall not die. Their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. So God promised in the prophets that he was making a new heaven and a new earth. You know, if it took him 6 days to make this, and he's been working on that 2,000 years, this is a dump compared to what's coming. I love the creation of this world. You know, the Bible says not love the world. I remember a guy asked me one time, well, does that mean I shouldn't love nature? I said, no, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the government of the world, the way the world conducts their business. It's not talking about creation. I love the beauty of creation. I used to like to camp, but I can't stand sleep on the ground anymore, so I haven't done that in several years. But I love creation. But when you think about it, according to the scriptures, it took God 6 days to make this place, and he's been working on that for 2,000 years. Wow. He said, you can't imagine what I've prepared for those who love me. It won't even enter into your mind. So I don't even try to imagine it. You know, I just know it's going to be quite a place. And as I said earlier, the Lord's going to be there, and that's what's going to matter to me. Peter mentioned the new heaven and new earth in his second epistle. He said, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. I was on my porch the other day looking around, you know, looking at the colors and that, and I thought one day this will all burn. Everything on. It's no wonder the Lord told us not to lay up treasures on this earth. They're going to burn. They're going to rust. You know, people building these multi-room mansions and they want their grandchildren and great-grandchildren to be able to live there. I understand that. But one day they're going to burn. Nothing that's on this earth is going to stay. Nothing. And Peter said the Lord will melt the heavens. There's what, 102 known elements? And one translation says the elements will be melted. That's hot, people. I was a firefighter. I've been in some hot fires, but I've never been in any fires where the sky was on fire. God destroyed this earth with a flood once because of the wickedness of men, and he will destroy it again with fire. But that won't be the end. Peter said we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth. John said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I believe that is the mansion that Jesus spoke about in the Gospels when he said, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to get a place ready for you. This is my personal opinion. I believe that's the house that the Lord was talking about. Jerusalem means city of peace. And the new Jerusalem won't be like the old. If you read the prophets and you read the histories, Jerusalem was not always a city of peace. It's where God chose to put his name. The temple was there. They came there to worship. But many times God rebuked them. He said, my eye's on Jerusalem. I've set my heart there. But it doesn't mean a thing to you. But this new Jerusalem will be the city of peace, the city of righteousness. All this suffering that we've seen here and that some of us have experienced, Paul said, you won't even remember it. I believe that. In the movie Jeremiah Johnson, you know, he was a pilgrim, a greener, and he went into the mountains, and Will Greer played this grizzled old mountain man that took him under his wing and taught him the ropes. And in the course of the movie, of the book, the crow kill his wife and adopted child. And he spends the rest of his life killing the crow. They come after him. He goes after them. He spends a life of vengeance. And Will Greer, towards the end of the movie, runs into him. And he said, was it worth all the trouble? And he said, what trouble? And I think that's the attitude we'll have in heaven. If somebody come and said, man, was it worth all the struggles? Was it worth all the pain you had to go through? Was it worth all the trouble? You're going to look at them and say, what trouble? What pain? All former things are past. All the bad memories some of you carry, maybe from your childhood or other incidents in your life, that'll all be gone. Be no need for it. No more death. No more having to say goodbye to those that we love. No more heartaches. No more hurting. Things that we would like this life to be will be reality there. And we will no longer worship God just by faith. We will see him. Our faith will be sight. Now on this side, God said, you can't see my face and live. But on that side, we will. We'll see him as he is. And he said, I will wipe the tears from your eyes. That Father, the Heavenly Father, if there are any tears shed, the Heavenly Father said, I'll reach down and daub your eyes. I'll dry your eyes. We'll no longer worship God from afar because he said he'll be right there with us. That gets me when I read this, and I mean gets to me. It's hard for me to wrap my mind out around. There are people that don't worship God because they can't see him. And they think that's ludicrous that Christians worship a God they've never seen. And, you know, we got all these statues and stuff that we worship. These are our gods, but you got to fasten them down so they don't fall over. They can't talk to you. They can't hear. They can't identify with you. But I've talked to people on the other side of the coin that is to them is just as ludicrous. You ever seen God? Nope. Did he ever talk to you? Yeah. In here. Through the Word. How do you know he's real? How do you know he's not? I believe he's real. I believe that Jesus Christ is as real as every person I'm looking at in this room. And it's my goal one day to stand in his presence. And I hope I hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear. And all this won't matter. It will not matter anymore. I don't think we're going to walk around heaven with sour looks on our faces, thinking about how much we got mistreated in this life. Boy, Lord, they sure were mean. They won't even be there. God told David, one day my people will wake up and the wicked won't even be a memory. He said it'll be like waking from a dream. No memory, no trace. God promises to wipe the tears from our eyes. He promises to put an end to everything, the suffering, the pain that we've known. This is something to look forward to. Now, I've had people over the years ask me, "You know, are you afraid to die?" Well, I'm not fond of the idea, but do I fear it? No. I'm totally convinced in my mind, in my heart, that when I cease to breathe, when this body stops, I'm just going to go on. I told my wife, I don't even want a funeral. I don't want a bunch of people standing around looking sad and, you know, just say, "Hey, the booger head's gone. Praise God. He's went to his reward. You know, let's go on with life." I don't want people to stop living. But this life here for me isn't it. I'm not saying it's not a reality. I'm not saying it's an illusion. I'm just saying it's not it. This life gets you ready for the life to come. Now, this morning, I want to encourage you, if you have never called out on the name of the Lord, you need to do so. God has sworn that there will come a day that every knee will bow to him and every tongue will confess. That's what we call the white throne judgment. And you do not want to wait till then to do it. Too late. Why not bow your knee to him today and call out on him and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, receive him and accept him, and then you have this to look forward to also. Because we mentioned the other place, fire and torment, where the worm doesn't die, the fire's never quenched. I want to avoid that place. Would you stand with me this morning? I remember the struggles I had with my decision to come to the Lord, the times I'd grip the pews with them white knuckles and say, you know, maybe tomorrow, maybe next Sunday. And the Sunday I went forward, I was out in the middle of the aisle before I knew it. It just happened that quick. I was thinking, well, maybe I ought to go pray. And the next thing I knew, I was up heading up there to pray. And everybody and their dog knew who I was. I was trying to be incognito. They had hands laid on me saying, "Oh, God bless Rick Johnson." I thought, well, everybody in here now knows who's up here praying. But I didn't care. I'd already settled it in my heart that I was going to follow Jesus Christ, but I made it public. Not showing off. There was a lot of people who didn't believe that I got saved. I wasn't showing off. I was just publicly affirming, I am going to follow Jesus Christ. Have you never done that? I'm not asking you to come forward and make a scene. Just ask yourself, have I ever personally called on Jesus Christ? Don't bank on the fact that you've been raised in church. that you didn't do what other kids did. Everybody has to come to the cross of Jesus Christ. I don't care if your biggest sin is kicking the cat. You need a Savior. And that's why he came. Call out on him this morning. Remember what we said last week. God said, well, I'm near. Call on me while I'm near. And then someday you can look forward to entering this place that John talked about. A place of righteousness, peace. I'm looking forward to that.